cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca.
Hour number two of the radio program. Anybody seen the co-host? Anywhere in... Oh, here he comes now. Oh, I can't get here on time. This is like this becoming a regular thing with Brunt. Can't get here for 5 o'clock. What are you doing that's so important? I know you were here at 2 this afternoon. All you do is you're spending too much time producing the show or trying to produce it.
I wasn't doing that even.
Influencing the production of the show.
I was involved in a very intriguing conversation.
Okay, go. So tell us about it.
It's about all kinds of things.
And who are you conversing with?
It's Steve Kassar.
Who's he?
He runs Connected.
Never heard of him.
You got to hang around here more. Meet all kinds of people.
What for? He can come and meet me. Going to go looking for him. How long has he been here?
He's been here 9 months.
Oh, that's all? Oh, he's a baby.
You should invite him in.
Probably afraid of me.
Well, that's possible. There are a lot of people in here who are afraid of you.
Yeah, so...
Anything happened while I was away?
He's the guy who's deleted me from my appearances on Connected, right? Because they used to have a thing, right? Then they used to have a thing with me on it regularly? When's the last time that showed up?
Didn't you not want to do that?
Oh, a couple days ago? Really? Oh, really? Okay. Never mind then.
I thought it was one of those things you decided you wouldn't do anymore.
I didn't have to do anything. Oh, they just would steal it.
Okay, that
this
makes,
is what they
no,
do
that
best
sense.
Here. They just steal something from...
No, it's because you won't do other things voluntarily. So they just come in and...
Why are you saying that? Okay. That's not true.
Are you offering to make appearances on Connected?
Have somebody give you... Cite the examples, the times... List the times that I have been asked to do something and haven't done it.
Trade deadline day. Did they even ask you or did you already...
No, you didn't.
Got ahead of it. You said you wouldn't do it before they asked you.
But they never asked me.
Yeah, but that's because you said you wouldn't do it.
Well, the year before, they didn't ask me either, but they just scheduled me and then didn't use me. So I got pissed at them. I said, well, I'm not going to do it
there
this
we
year.
Go.
But they never asked.
And then you didn't want to write the thing for the magazine anymore.
Well, because they weren't going to pay me.
There we go.
That's the problem around here.
By the way, who's leaving cups here?
Well, it might have been Perk.
Man, oh man.
Oh, relax. It's not that big a deal.
It's my spot.
You had to take a cup and put it down on the
table.
Very
tiny. Well, you're usually railing against the it's the morning show guys, right? They're the guys who leave all the crap here.
They've been better lately, I must say.
Okay,
or somebody's been cleaning up after all my
maybe Tim and Sid
railing
clean up after you or after them before you get here.
All right, so I got an issue.
Okay.
So in the last hour, we're talking about... And I don't even know if sabermetrics is the right term for it. I don't even know what sabermetrics is, but like all the new statistical stuff.
Well, sabermetrics would include all of the advanced statistical stuff in baseball.
All right, that's the stuff we're talking about.
Okay.
So we're talking about that, and what I said was that I'm not that guy.
Okay.
I'm an old school guy. It's not that I'm unfamiliar with a lot of it, but I take it with a grain of salt. And then I said, the problem that I have with all these sabermetrics guys is the minute you question the validity of anything that they spit out, they go berserk.
Really?
Yes. So I hardly said anything except that in the last segment. I got 5 texts from snot-nosed punks in their mother's basement with their computers, sabermetricians.
You really think that's who they are?
Yeah.
I think Bill James is somewhat older.
He's a nerd.
How old
was he when he started? Bill James might be 55, 60 years old now, but when he started, he was probably living in his mother's basement. Had he even had a date? Do you know if Bill James had a date?
I think Bill James is
I don't think he's ever been
kind of a fully formed human being. I think he's had... the kind of normal range of experiences. But why are you...
Anyway,
you don't have to... you don't have to live off the stuff.
Anyway, it proved to me...
No, it doesn't prove anything.
It proved to me this is who these people are.
I think you can learn from them.
I don't want anything to do with them. I'm afraid of them.
Well, just, you know...
You scare the hell out of
me. You don't have to live your entire life by it, but it is... You will learn things if you... I'm not... I am not,
I'm not sure I have anything
incredibly well versed in that stuff, but I do, you know, I know how to read a stat line and I know a slash line for somebody, and and some of the advanced stats I use, and I always find it kind of intriguing.
Well, I didn't say they were useless. I just said I'm not that guy.
Okay.
I look at them. I don't totally understand them. Some of them I think are nonsense.
Well, none of them are nonsense.
Yeah, they are. They're created stats.
No, they're not nonsense because they're.
Well, but most of these guys will tell you ERA means nothing.
No, they won't tell you ERA means
nothing. Wins and losses mean nothing.
Well, they're right about that. It doesn't.
Well,
they don't.
It doesn't mean nothing.
Well, but it's not a measure. You know, it's a team sport, right? Wins and losses are two things teams do, not individuals do.
Well, I do get that, but it is to some extent a reflection.
Well, it's a reflection of pitching for a good team. You know, you don't.
Well, now wait a second. Let's take Jack Morris. If you looked at Jack Morris's, what's the matter?
Well, because it's not. Yeah, he won some. He did. He, you know, the pitching to the score kind of argument. I'm sorry, I don't buy it.
So he shouldn't be. He has no. He should never have been considered for the Hall of Fame.
Well, he can be considered. He was considered. He's not in, but he was considered.
You wouldn't have voted him in.
I don't vote anymore. So.
Well, he was eligible when you voted.
But
vote for him at any point?
No, I did not vote for him.
All right. Well, you're entitled to that viewpoint.
But I just think, you know, I always go back to the who's the first?
Was Grant Fuhr a crappy goaltender?
Hey, Grant Fuhr was a very good goaltender in a very offensive era in the National Hockey League.
Well, statistics, though, you know.
What do you mean statistics? What's
even his statistics against his peer group at the time weren't very good. But people talked about, well, Grant Fuhr, you know, he plays for the Edmonton Oilers. They don't play much defense. You know, it doesn't matter if you win 7-6, if you give up 6 goals, as long as you're winning. You know, all the same kind of arguments they made with Jack Morris. I mean, it's lots of those guys out there. All I'm saying is, just to clarify, that I'm not that guy. I think there's validity in some of this stuff, but I don't blindly accept all of it simply because you can punch some numbers into a computer and it'll spit out some other numbers.
No, not generally.
Yes.
You can't. Numbers do things other than what numbers do.
Well, they give you numbers, but now to translate what those numbers actually mean. Perkins had a point. He's looking at Brett Laurie's war.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How would you say Brett Laurie's
defensive war? Actually,
yeah. How would you say Brett Laurie's?
I know. I've already had this conversation with Perk off air, so I understand what he's saying.
And is it not valid?
Well, I'd have to. You know, I've seen Brett Laurie make a bunch of great plays this year. Have I seen every defensive chance Brett Laurie's taken this year? No,
I have.
Everyone.
I've pretty much seen every inning of the Blue Jays have played this year.
Again, it's not a number.
And you know me; I'm not the biggest Brett Laurie supporter that's out there.
Yeah, I'm just saying that the number is not pulled out of. You know, space. That there is a reason.
He's the 28th best third baseman in the major leagues, according to WAR. Come on. I mean, the offensive stats, I get that. He's been crap offensively. He's hit 3 bombs and precious few base hits.
But we could make
He's still hitting under .150.
But we can make one phone call, Bob, and get somebody on here to explain, you know, how that number works and why that number.
They explain their ass off. It doesn't mean I'm going to believe it.
Okay. But don't go. Pitchers wins. I will call you every time on that one.
Couldn't care less. Well, I couldn't care less what you think.
Well, I know, but I'm just going to every time you say that and say he's a .500 pitcher or he's, you know, or talk about a guy's win.
Cringe.
Yeah, because it doesn't mean anything. You know who the first Montreal Expos pitcher was to win 20 games?
Oh, Bill Stoneham.
No.
Stoneman, I meant.
No, it wasn't.
I just guessed. I don't know who
it was. Yeah, not Steve Rogers. Ross Grimsley. Won 20 games. He's a winning guy.
So?
Well, he's a mediocre, completely mediocre pitcher who won 20 games.
Ross Grimsley had some pretty good years with the Orioles.
He's just a guy, Bob. He's just a guy.
So he had a good year.
That's because sometimes, you know, wins, and you look at how pitchers win games. And, you know, sometimes it means they're lights out, they're unbelievably good.
What was his ERA that year?
Well, I don't know.
Can we look that up? I mean, I understand you can't use wins alone as a reference point. But I think if you use wins with ERA and have the ability to actually sit and watch games rather than just sit in front of a computer and look at numbers.
Nobody's just sitting in front of a computer and watching numbers. The people who do this like baseball, Bob.
But then can't you form an opinion based on what you see?
I think you can form an opinion based on what you see and then looking at things in a deeper way.
If somebody gives you a number, so you make an evaluation based on what you've seen and then somebody gives you a number and it completely changes your mind?
Well, don't you ever go back and look at numbers and say, boy, that's, you know, look at what a guy's done over the course of a season or over the course of half a season and say, you know, and kind of look at his slash line and say, man, I didn't realize that. Or look at that. There are things that jump out at me.
Oh, yeah, I take it into account. I'm sorry, what was Grimsley's? 305 that year. Pretty good.
Yeah, but again, are you thinking...
There's a lot of things that come into play. He had a good year. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean he's a Hall of Fame pitcher. He had a good year. Won 20 games, 305 ERA. How many other stats do you need in order to say he had a good year?
Well, I say the wins and losses one I'll throw out. The ERA I'd look at.
Speaking of baseball, here's a bulletin for you. People will just hang on the edge of their seats for this one.
Well, actually... people do care about this stuff.
I don't think so. See, this again, you're wrong about everything.
Well,
today.
They do. People are talking about the 25th guy and the 26th guy on the roster, right?
He's 27th, actually.
Yeah, now he's 27th. Well, he's not on the roster anymore.
Jeremy Jeffress elected free agency rather than accept an outright assignment. So he'll sign with a new team within 24 to 48 hours.
Okay. Someone will take a shot.
Why didn't they claim him off waivers? Why wouldn't you? What's the difference?
You know, that's a good question, because contractually, I wouldn't think it would mean...
Call the sabermetricians, they'll know.
Well, 3-4 over the carry the 3, pi r squared.
So you're wondering why you got all the hate mail? You're not actually wondering, are you?
No, I could care less.
Oh, boy.
I don't care about them.
Wait till you start talking to the advanced stat guys in hockey. We could turn this into...
Oh, that's even dumber. That's dumber than baseball. Baseball, at least, it's a point A to point B sport. Hockey is just this chaos, free-formed chaos. And now you're trying to attach numbers to all this stuff?
They seem to have predicted the Leafs' demise rather accurately.
Well, you know what that is? Do they have good players? Do they not have good players? Mm-hmm. There's the sabermetrics right there. Hang on. They got three guys that are pretty good, two guys that are half-ass decent, and the rest of them suck. They ain't going to make the playoffs. There's your analysis.
Mm-hmm.
Move along.
And you were saying that when they were third in the East? And
to quote the late John Panette, get out of the line. What else do you want? Siddle's here. Let's see what he is. Here's the radio analyst of the Toronto Blue Jays, Joe Siddle, who's...
killing time.
Sitting in Minnesota, killing time. He's got nothing to do for 3 hours. How are you?
I'm good. I'm looking at a beautiful sunshiny field at Target Field here, and I think it's 4 Celsius, they tell me now.
So is it melting? Like is the field starting to thaw?
I'll tell you what, the field looks spectacular.
Okay.
I said it earlier today, my players of the game goes to the Minnesota Twins grounds crew. They've done a great job. It looks great.
Well, you wouldn't give it to any players in the Blue Jays based on game one today.
No, that was a rough one. That was a pretty one-sided show that Kyle Gibson threw the ball very well, and it was... not over before it started. But
no,
was
it was over.
Today.
It was over before it started. I'll tell you when it was over. It was over when all these guys walk out there with balaclavas on. What
you're
a
old
bunch
school,
of,
aren't you, Bob?
Well, what a bunch of
Joe,
babies.
Yeah, you're just tuning in a little late here, Joe. You missed a full 13 minutes and 41 seconds of old school. I'm sorry.
Put a long sleeve undershirt on, and away you go. Play baseball.
I hear you, Bob. I agree 100%.
What is all this?
You don't have to agree, Joe. It's okay.
And all the,
just because
he's
yelling,
I do.
Break. Just because he's yelling. I know you're new here, Joe. You can't disagree with him.
Listen, if you're going skiing, that's one thing. But come on, this is baseball.
I'm with you, pal.
Baseball, winter game? I don't know.
They lost before they started. They're so afraid of the cold.
You're seeing it all around the league. A lot of people are wearing those things now.
We got to get rid of that. There's got to be a rule. We need a law.
Collective bargaining agreement.
Screw that. We just need a law. Where's the commissioner? Power of the commissioner.
In
the
Blue best, Jays losing, you're on a roll, Bob.
In the best interests of the game, we are banning all ski wear.
You had no idea.
Baseball games.
You had no idea you were getting to this, Joe.
Well, in the best interest of the game, we have replay now and no collisions at home plate, so figure that one out.
It's going to hell in a handbasket, this sport. And I blame you, because all this started when you arrived.
The rookie. You're blaming the rookie.
Well, in the absence of anybody else to blame, pick on the
I'll
rookie.
Take it.
In regard to the first game today, and I'll, you know,
can we get to the sabermetric stuff?
No, I'm okay with what the guys wore.
There's nothing to talk about. It was 7-0.
R.A. Dickey, you know, a knuckleballer going in and pitching on a cold day outdoors, perhaps, you know, maybe that's where the game was over. But I'm starting to wonder, Joe, where his comfort zone is.
Can't pitch inside, can't pitch outside, just run out of places to pitch.
That would seem to be the issue right now. Are we dealing with something larger than, you know, climatic conditions for R.A. Dickey right now?
Well, I think so. I think we're just dealing with a knuckleball that's been marginal at best. He's had one good game and the rest have not been. I think R.A. Dickey will be better. He's off to a slow start. Some pitchers get off to slow starts just like some hitters do. He's not off to a great start. I think he'll be a little bit better. But, yeah, I mean, going in today, you can talk about the mental game. And if you're going to go into a game thinking because it's cold I'm not going to pitch well, then you probably shouldn't even take the ball. So I don't think that's a way to approach any game. But does the cold affect the knuckleball? Yeah, the cold affects everybody on the field today. And you know what? It's not going to change. It's cold outside. You have a baseball game to go play. That's the way it is. You got to play the game. It didn't go well. I think R.A. Dickey will be better, but yeah, he was just not very good today.
I thought, I mean, you're there, Joe, but I mean, watching on TV, I thought the knuckleball was moving. He just couldn't find the strike zone. I mean, I thought he got squeezed a little bit, especially on the outside corner to right-handed hitters, but whatever. I mean, that happens.
I thought it was moving.
He couldn't throw it for enough strikes.
He was. Even after he walked the first two batters of the first inning, he was all around the zone, and then he got the double play and strikeout to get out of it. So then he cruised through the second and third inning, were pretty good. He was fine. I thought he was very good, actually. I thought this is going to be a very good day. But then he got more trouble in the fourth inning when he walked a couple more, and then the fifth inning was horrendous, and he got hit really hard. I think after those first three hitters in that, after the leadoff strikeout, but then he gave up three hard-hit balls to Dozier, yep, Mauer, and Plouffe, and then he walked Colabello, and at that point, I thought, this is trouble right now, because when you start scoring up that knuckleball the way they were, that means that thing's flattening out and the movement is much less, and that's exactly what happened.
That has been kind of the pattern with him this year. There's, you know, aside from the one really good outing, which is that he'll settle in for an inning or two and then
it's a knuckleball.
Yeah, I guess that's
unpredictable, and I don't know that he can control it. It's unpredictable, and that's what you get, right? That's what a knuckleballer is. He can be really good or he can be really bad. Now, I guess you can say that about any pitcher, but at least your traditional pitchers have fastball, curveball, slider, changeup, whatever. They have control over what they're throwing, whereas the knuckleball just seems to be out of control for me a little bit. And he was barking about a couple of pitches, and he had a little chat with Chris Guccione, the home plate umpire, between innings.
Yeah, I saw that.
Casually the first time had a conversation with him, and I think it went well, but then it didn't go so well later on when he didn't get a pitch that he thought he had, and then Pinto hit a two-run double to kind of put the game out of reach.
That was his last hitter in the game, right?
So that last hitter, and it was the last conversation he had with Guccione too, as he was coming from backing up home plate. I saw a few words discussed there, and I don't think they were very nice.
What's the, you know, on it, obviously the game's kind of gone at that point, and everybody knows they got another game to play tonight. I thought, you know, when you have a guy like Todd Redman, you bring him in a game, and if you're John Gibbons, you're thinking, just get us through this thing, right? Just get us to the end so we don't have to wear out the bullpen. It'd be an interesting conversation sometimes with a pitcher when you know this isn't about winning the game. We're not going to win this game. It's cold. We got to play tonight. Just hang in there. And, he did the job, I guess. Have you been involved in those conversations with guys, though? Joe?
I have as a player. I have not here in Toronto, but I have as a player. And yeah, you know what? You don't need to have a conversation with Todd Redman. He knows exactly what's going on right there. And quite frankly, Todd Redman's my Toronto Blue Jays player of the game, because he came in and he sucked up 3 2/3 innings for the Blue Jays. He finished a game off that was essentially over, and he saved the entire bullpen for tonight. So he knows his role. That's exactly Todd Redman knew when he was coming into this game, that, you know, John Gibbons would love to have him finish it off, and he did a great job. He gave up a couple of unearned runs after the error to Kawasaki there, but he did a great job. But yeah, I don't think Todd Redman needs to be told what to do. He knew exactly what he was doing when he got the ball today.
You know, there was a time when doubleheaders were actually scheduled, and then there was, you know, and we went through an era too, a long era in baseball, where if you got a game rained out or canceled, postponed, and they scheduled a doubleheader, it was actually a doubleheader, and you paid one price, and you got in, you got to see both games. They don't do that anymore. We have these.
That's old school.
That's old school again. Now we have these split day-night doubleheaders where they kick all the people out, clean up all the popcorn boxes and the spilt beer, and bring a whole new cash cow group in.
It's going to be 9 people there tonight, Bob.
Well, there might be. They announced 20,000 this afternoon. There's nowhere near 20,000 in there, were there?
But that was the schedule. No, that was the scheduled game.
Scheduled game.
Yeah. So anyway, that aside, it is what it is. And I'm in your experience, did you play in a few of these day nighters?
No, I'm not really old, Bob, but I'm old enough that I didn't play in any split ones. I've played in the back-to-back games where you go in and you change your clothes and you come right back out in the field. It's about 20 minutes. So, no, I haven't been a part of this. It's really kind of awkward, actually, because it's such a long delay.
Right. I'm wondering how these guys are going to react tonight. You know, how do you react to us? You know, 3 hours sitting around, you know, you play cards a little bit, you know.
Once again, though. It's like I talk about the weather. What are you going to do about it? Both teams are doing it. You got to suck it up and do it. And it's you know what? A lot of guys, you play cards in the clubhouse. You grab a bite to eat. You lounge around. You watch some TV. You got your iPads out. With technology now, they can keep pretty busy for a few hours. But it is awkward. It's strange that you're literally sitting around waiting to play another game. You want to just say, let's go. There's nobody going to be here anyway.
Will anybody hit? Will there be any BP?
Oh, in between games, they'll hit in the cages. Yeah, I'm sure guys will go get some hacks if they want. Yep.
But they're not going to be. They won't be on the field.
I don't think there'll be. No, there's nothing on the field at all. They're just working on the field right now. But no, you've always got the cage, and especially these days, most stadiums now, especially the newer ones, have batting cages right near your clubhouse. You can literally just go down the hall, and you're in your batting cage. So I'm sure guys will get some hacks in, and probably closer to game time as they prepare to head outside again.
What's the? No, Adam Lind did not play today, but he has not been DL'd yet. I guess he's. Kind of humming and hawing about just how hurt he might be. But, you know, where do you think this is heading? Do you think he's heading for the DL, Joe?
Well, you know where those conversations usually go. And I remember when Jose Reyes tweaked his hamstring towards the end of spring training there, and the first comment I heard the next morning was, oh, he'll be okay, just needs a couple days. Well, you know how that went. So I'm not a big fan of that. I think when you tweak a back or a hammy or a quad, these things, the you know, good thing so far to see Colby Rasmus DH'ing today that he's back in there. So hopefully his is mild, but I don't treat anything mildly. I got a bad feeling that it might be a little more for Adam Lind, but we'll see, I guess, when we arrive in Cleveland.
Yeah, well, they can use his bat. And, I mean, look at, I guess the downside, too, is that, you know, if you got Reyes coming back in Cleveland, which is, I think, we're still talking about that.
Saturday now, though, not Friday.
It's Saturday instead of Friday, but still, it'd be nice to have the full complement for once. And you got one. It looks like you might have one coming in, but one going out simultaneously.
Well, the last thing you want is Adam Lind going out right now. He's been swinging the bat really well. And that's a big bat to lose right now. But getting Reyes back will be a great thing, I think, and hopefully he is healthy. But anytime you get your leadoff hitter back and your catalyst and your shortstop, and, you know, I'll tell you, these guys in the middle have done a great job defensively until now. Diaz has been outstanding. Goins has been good, and Kawasaki just for a very short time here, one game the other night, and then again today. But defensively, they've held down the fort. Mycerus Touris was swinging the bat better than all of them, but Diaz came up with a couple big hits. I mean, let's not kid ourselves, guys. We're not going to expect Jonathan Diaz to hit a whole lot. He's there for his glove, and you know what? He's flashed a lot of leather and made some great plays. Ryan Goins is coming around. I mean, he's been swinging the bat a little bit better and getting a few hits, and I think we all know what Kawasaki brings, right? He's going to play okay defense, and he's going to hit okay. I mean, that's all you're going to get from him. He's a guy to bring up when somebody's hurt, just like the reason why he's up here right now.
Well, the other thing about Lind going out that I is disappointing is just the other day, Gibbons adjusted the lineup and split up Batista and Encarnacion by putting Lind in between them.
Put the lefty in there,
Going 3-4-5, and you know, I've always thought that would be a good idea, but I guess they didn't want to mess with success, and Encarnacion and Batista obviously had a success hitting back-to-back. But now that experiment gets put on the back burner again.
Yeah, and that's too bad because it worked pretty well that day too, by the way. Adam Lind got on base 5 times.
Yeah.
He hit three hits, hard hits, and 2 walks. But I think it's a great idea to slide that lefty in between the 2 righties, and it just plays games with the opposing manager late in the game when he wants to bring in a relief pitcher, and especially in a closing situation, to, you know, most closers tend to be right-handed, and to be able to slide Adam Lind in between those two guys, it worked out perfectly. But yeah, that's a big loss. Lind's been swinging the bat great, and that's anytime you lose a bat out of your lineup right now, that's a killer. So hopefully he's okay, but you know, those things go. I'm a little concerned about that one.
So do we get Anthony Ghost, the 26th man in center field tonight?
Yes, he is in center field.
Well, that will be, you know, that obviously gives them more, it's a defensive improvement over, though Bautista's played well there and Melky's played okay there as a replacement. It does give them a little more security in there. How much rope do you think You know, how far does John Gibbons, how much rope does he give Dustin McGowan tonight? I don't know if the cold night makes a difference or anything. I'm not sure. You tell me. But he does have now a fully rested bullpen aside from Todd Redmond. He's got a lot of options there if, you know, he needs to pull the plug early.
No, and thanks to Todd Redmond, you've got a full bullpen, and I think you do what you have to do to win a ballgame tonight. If Dustin McGowan's struggling early, you get him out of there, whether it's 90 degrees or 30 degrees. You know, and I don't think it matters how cold it is tonight. Cold would be more of a factor if he's into the sixth or seventh inning and he's getting towards that 100 pitches or 110 pitches. Now you might think about the weather a little bit, but in terms of struggling early, I think it's a short chain. This is a big game tonight. The big game to win a series and to be able to win back-to-back series on the road would be a huge plus going into Cleveland. So I think there's a short rope. If he gets in trouble early, you use all those arms that you've got down there.
Do you expect McGowan to be wearing ski gloves while he pitches tonight?
No, and not a toque either.
Okay. What about a scarf? Maybe a big wool scarf or something. You know, kind of fly in the wind behind him, kind of like Snoopy.
He's a big, strapping, tough lad. I think he'll be fine.
So do we do the sabermetrics thing with him?
No, go ahead. You go ahead. I'll just sit back and listen.
I didn't catch all of it. I just heard part of what you were saying.
Are you a sabermetrics guy? Like, when you look at all these stats, like war and all these other things, I mean...
I am open enough to never be absolutely closed-minded to something. I think we have to take advantage of numbers and research that's out there. I will be open to that, but I will never replace anything with what my eyes see and what my gut feels.
God bless
and
you.
When I say that, I numbers don't lie. A lot of times numbers don't lie, but I mean there's some numbers and stats now I'll never comprehend, so they just go a little too far for me. But you know, when I watch a hitter swing a bat or a defensive player field a ball or a pitcher pitch, that's there's nothing that replaces that for me. And I think so. I to answer your question, I probably use a combination of both, but I would never go 100% with either one of them at all.
I believe that's exactly what I said, Brent.
No, it wasn't. You threw out all of the numbers stuff. Anything above batting average and height and weight, I think you tossed out, didn't you?
I did not. I said
it
might have some validity.
No, you were not nearly that reasonable. I'd just like to point that out.
These guys,
I know it's the secret of your career, but nearly that reasonable.
I hate the guys who come up with this stuff and refuse to acknowledge that it's just a number and it might be useful and it might have some validity. But it isn't the gospel. It isn't the Bible. It doesn't replace everything else that goes on out there, including, as my now good friend Joe said, your eyes.
We're friends, are we?
We're pals.
Well,
now.
You know, you look at a game like today. So if you were to break down the Blue Jays' offensive statistics today, you'd look at what. Yeah, right. So it wouldn't be good. So everybody's numbers aren't so good, but. When I watch this game today, there's a pitcher out there. I don't care who is hitting today. He was real good. He had a lot of movement on his sinker. He was very good. So do those numbers take into account who was pitching, number one, and how he was pitching on that particular day? Kyle Gibson might go out next time, and his sinker might be flat, and he might give up 10 runs in 5 innings. So, you know, there's a lot of things to take into consideration there. And, again, I think what I see with my eyes, I would trust more than anything because I believe in what I see.
It's all quiet from Brent now.
Joe's being very reasonable. Like, that's a very reasonable approach.
He's echoing
no,
exactly
he is not
what
echoing
I said.
You. No, you were sounding like...
You just like to argue with
you
me.
You just wanted kids to get off your lawn. That's
you're,
all you
you're
wanted.
You're sucking up to Siddle now, you know, because you don't know him as well.
No, he doesn't. He's just being reasonable and, you know, trying not to invoke your ire anymore. I get all the ire. Thanks, Joe.
Jeremy Jeffress declared as elected free agency. So I don't know if you can answer this question. I asked this of Brunt, and of course he doesn't know anything about anything, so I don't know why I even ask him questions. So the Blue Jays don't have any options with him, and so they put him on waivers. He doesn't get picked up. But now, I guess, he expects to sign with a team in the next 24 to 48 hours. Can you explain to me why a team would sign him as a free agent rather than claim him on waivers?
Well, I think if you claim him on waivers, you have to put him on the 40-man roster.
That's it, yeah. And so they can sign him and send him to the minors.
So this way, nobody claims him, and he essentially becomes a free agent. Now anybody can just sign him and send him to AAA. And he's not on the
So he'd rather go to AAA with somebody other than the Blue Jays?
Essentially, that's what he's saying, yes. If you to say no to the assignment, that's exactly right. So basically, he's probably just looking for a new start.
He's one of those guys, though. I don't know how much you saw him this spring, Joe. But
yeah, I saw him lots.
Guy throws almost 100 miles an hour. He's got a live arm. They figured out the stuff about the epilepsy. he's going to be tempting still for somebody, I think, to take a look at him.
100%.
I think so. I said it all spring and even towards the end of spring, and I'll be the first one to say I think he's an arm you don't want to give up on yet. Now, of course, I'm the new guy here, so I didn't see all that you guys have seen from him. But, anytime you give up on an arm like that, you better be darn sure. And but, you know, after watching him all of spring training and then at the beginning of this season, he can look lights out for a batter or two, and then everything just implodes, and he can't find the strike zone, and then he throws the ball away. And then it just seemed like every time he went out there, something went wrong.
Yeah.
And he would walk a guy, or he'd hit a guy, or he'd give up a hit or a couple of hits. He just never went out and had a clean inning for me. So when his number came up, I agreed 100%. You got to move on from this. And, you know, hopefully for Jeremy Jeffress, he catches on somewhere. And that's not to say he's not going to go somewhere and figure it out. But how long as an organization can you continue to be patient that he's going to figure it out? Clearly he hasn't.
Yeah. Well, Kansas City was that before Gay gave up on him after
same thing, right?
Yeah. A long run. Yeah.
Now, they hadn't figured out the epilepsy stuff there. And again, I think a lot of people thought that was going to be the key finally to making him consistent.
Right.
Sure. But this is a crazy game. You never know. He may sign with somebody and you might see him in the big leagues later this year pitching really well. I mean, that's a possibility. Everybody's allowed to improve. But I think from the Blue Jays' perspective, it's time to move on.
You're a smart man, Siddle. You can come on a lot.
You've endeared yourself to Bob today, even more.
I didn't agree with you then, did I, with the sabermetrics?
I can't remember.
I think you said they didn't know what they're talking about.
You didn't tell me I was an idiot, so yeah. I take it with a grain of salt. Enjoy game two of the doubleheader. You get double pay for today, by the way, in case you didn't
know. Oh, great. Thanks, guys.
You're welcome.
All righty.
Joe Siddle, Blue Jays radio analyst, will be another baseball game starting. I think it's 7 o'clock.
Yes, it is.
7 o'clock Toronto time.
6 o'clock local in Minnesota. And I say family and friends tonight because this is not the scheduled game, and I believe it's still a bit chilly there.
It's 4 degrees. Minnesota?
You'd go out without a toucan, wouldn't you?
Heat wave.
You wouldn't sit at an outdoor baseball game in the cold. Well,
are you serious?
You wouldn't do it at all, ever.
Are you crazy? Used to do it at Exhibition Stadium in the early days.
Yeah, no, it was horrible, though.
No, but it wasn't because we had glass in the Polish press box.
Yeah, well, sitting out in the left field bleachers like some of us did on those aluminum seats, buying hot dogs just to keep your hands warm.
That's not happening.
It was horrible.
You bought hot dogs to keep your hands warm?
Yeah,
when you buy coffee to keep your hands warm?
The hot dogs held the heat better with those tinfoil wraps.
I'm sure there's still about a buck at the Rogers Center.
Yeah.
Get a hot dog for about a buck. They're thinking about bringing in the leftover pimento sandwiches from the Masters. They're $2. Of course, Rogers Center would charge 15. Ocho Cinco in Montreal.
The ex-Ocho Cinco.
Well, one minute he's Chad Johnson, the next minute he's Ocho Cinco, the next minute he's Chad Johnson. So I don't know what he's going to be. Is he not going to wear 85?
He dumped the name. He's back to Chad Johnson.
Well, for the moment.
I think legally he's back to Chad Johnson, too.
I'm not interested in his legal problems. He's a Montreal Alouette. Is he an Alouette to sell tickets? Is he an Alouette because he can still play? I'm going to guess the general manager who's going to join us next is going to say, oh, no, he can play. Well, we're going to see. Jim Popp will be next when Primetime continues on the Sportsnet radio and television networks.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca.
Before the hour now. Bob McCowan in this chair. What's his name over there?
You're very cranky tonight.
I wasn't until you got here.
No, you were. You were cranky.
I had a fun time in the first hour. Perkins was here.
Because he agrees
with me. We were laughing and cajoling.
You're very cranky.
I like him better than I like you.
I know that.
A lot better.
Well, I know because you're very similar, you guys.
Well, he also didn't defect.
My God, that's ancient history now.
Oh, an elephant never forgets.
I don't think that's in the Bobumentary. I don't know.
Well, the Bobumentary isn't finished editing yet. If it ain't in there, it will be. Terry Ryan's waiting out in the waiting room.
It's going to be a blast.
In a bit. And Glenn Healy of Hockey Night in Canada will join us as well. He was Chad Johnson, then he was Chad Ocho Cinco, and now he's back to Johnson again, I guess. Is that right?
I believe so.
Out of football last year. But certainly a guy, I mean, even if you're a casual football fan, you know who this guy is. You know, good receiver, but a lightning rod for discussion and controversy. He got a tryout for 2 or 3 days with the Montreal Expos, and they've offered him a contract, and they have a deal. Here's the general manager of the Alouettes. Here's Jim Popp. James, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bob. How are you doing?
Excellent, thanks. So let's go to the beginning of this. Who contacted who? Did Chad or his people contact you and ask for a look? Did you get in touch with him? How'd it work?
Kind of interesting enough. I mean, there was an understanding. We had him on the negotiation list. He was tweeting some stuff out there publicly. We had not contacted him. I really didn't know how to contact him. I didn't want to do it publicly. But the funny thing is that he was working out with Chris Carter at his facility in Boca Raton, and Chris calls me out of the blue and goes, "Hey, Jim, who has the rights to Chad Johnson? Does anybody have the rights?" And I said, "We do." And he said, "Get out of here." He says, "This guy can still play." And that, it just went from there. So, you know, I had Chris really talk to him. I had Chris work him out for a few days and monitor him. And then he called me back. He says, "You really need to take a look." And then we talked. And then I invited him up to Vero Beach and kind of like on a three-day job interview. And we went through the process to see where both parties were to see if it was a fit.
I'm going to guess, Jim, that this wasn't just about his ability to still play football, because the guy comes with a little bit of history, baggage, maybe the wrong term, that may be overstating it. But he's not just a guy. He's a guy who's been the center of attention for a good portion of his career in the NFL. Was that part of the evaluation too, his character, personality, etc.?
Well, yes. I mean, we do that with all players. We try to find out as much as we can about each guy. We go through a very thorough process. You know, we don't find every little thing. We don't have the resources to do that in the CFL. But, you know, people he's played for, people he's played with, we talk to all those people to try to get a real sincere understanding. Now, what you get, Chad Johnson, this. I mean, right now he's a very humble person. He wants to play football. But the Chad Johnson that everybody knows, Ocho Cinco, you know, I guess in some ways you can, I'm not comparing the player, comparing the media machine, you know, is kind of like a Deion Sanders.
Yep.
And, you know, these are marketing geniuses of their own kind. But what the normal fan or even maybe, and most media people cover these guys knew this. I mean, Chad Johnson is a tremendously hardworking guy. That's why he's a six-time Pro Bowler. You know, he didn't get that because he's Ocho Cinco. He's a hard worker, doesn't miss meetings, stays at every practice till the very end, doesn't take time off. You know, and that's what Deion Sanders was. I mean, now when the lights came on, the showmanship came out, and they sold themselves in many a different ways. And you either liked them or you disliked them. But that's what we knew about him before he came. And when he came, he's very humbled. He's very hungry. He doesn't want to end his career the way it did. He didn't care about money. He just wanted to be on a team that accepted him with another chance. And he showed that for 3 days and did a great job. And everybody accepted him, and the players want to play with him. So it was a good three-day interview.
Is he treating this, Jim, is this just an audition for the NFL, or is this something else?
Oh, I don't think he's thinking that anymore. You know, again, he's 36 years old, and he's in as good a shape as any 25-year-old is. And I don't think he looks at that way at all. I think that he probably knows that that's over with. It didn't end the way he wanted it to, Bob. And he still wants to play for the fun. He wants to play because he has a passion to do it. He doesn't need the money. He doesn't want to go out that way. I think he just wasn't satisfied with the way his career ended, and he still wants to play. I mean, he might be one of these rare athletes that if someone gave him the chance to do it, I can tell you right now, he could still be playing in the NFL by his skill set. And he might be one of these guys that you know, it's like Damon Allen, Anthony Calvillo could play till they're 40, 41 years old, 43 years old. I mean, he's in phenomenal shape, and he takes care of himself, and you can tell. And so he's a little bit of not the norm when it comes to his being at the level he is at his age.
You know, I alluded to off-the-field stuff, Jim, and I know it does play a factor, but you have to kind of weigh it appropriately. For many people, and you'll know this to be true, for many people, the last time they saw Ocho Cinco or Johnson was in a courtroom when he slapped his lawyer's butt after a case went in his way, and the judge was so offended by it, he winds up spending a couple of days in jail. You know, it's sort of a reflection of the kind of Ocho Cinco show that we saw while he was in the National Football League, but off the field of play. You know, I'm sure you're aware of that. It's still played on the news from time to time. How do you mitigate that? What do you think of that? How does it play into your decision-making process?
Well, we go through this process with a lot of players and a lot of employees, just like I'm sure within the business that you're in and any business that exists. You know, what we do have is a very, very high-profile athlete that's followed by, my understanding, 3.5 million Twitter followers, one of the highest-profile followed pro athletes in the world. And so he'll be the first to tell you he made a mistake. He's very ashamed of his mistakes, and I'm not speaking for him. And he's very humbled, and he wants to do good, and he's very apologetic. And it took away something he loved. So he just wants an opportunity to get back on the field. So, but to answer your question thoroughly, we go through that process with all players. And there's a number of players that aren't that high profile that have those issues, that are playing in the NFL, NHL, NBA, Major League Baseball, and the CFL, that don't get repeated and played over and over and over. And it's a year to year, even to see if you get a work permit for them to come to play in the CFL.
Yeah.
But they're on, as we all are, doing our job on audition at all times and performance rating to maintain and how you represent that team. Now, we are a team and an organization that have given people second chances a number of times, and we are willing to help people better themselves, and that's part of our process from the owner down. And but we study those people before we ever bring them to our organization to see if they are good candidates, that they will maintain the high integrity we expect, and we do think that with him.
I only got about 30 seconds. I need a fairly quick answer to this one. The story we have is he's got a two-year contract. I'm assuming it's one plus an option. Is that true?
Yeah, correct.
And are there conditions under which Ocho Cinco Johnson could get out if an NFL team showed interest maybe after the first year?
Never discussed. He never brings it up, and he made it very clear it's not about playing in the NFL. He doesn't need money. He just wants to be a part of some place that wants to be a part of him, and he wants to show good and do well.
Jim Goody to take time for us today. We appreciate it as always. All the best. Talk to you soon, I hope.
My pleasure as always. Thank you.
Jim Popp, the general manager of the Montreal Alouettes. What do you make of it?
Well, Jim they have taken chances on guys. You know, he brought Lawrence Phillips in, mm-hmm. who has had a far more checkered past than Chad Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he didn't. It worked out for a while. He played reasonably well for them. You know, Jim Popp is very good at finding guys who fall through the cracks for one reason or another. Guys where you say, boy, why isn't that guy in the NFL? And then you go, oh, okay. I know why he's not in the NFL.
Right.
Something else happened. And Chad Johnson, what they got to lose?
Well, I guess my initial take on it was they worked him out.
Yeah.
They worked him out for two or three days. It's not like they just signed him on the phone based on his name.
Yeah.
And invited him to training camp. They gave him an early look. And I guess they obviously liked what they saw. I'm going to assume it's all legit. Glenn Healy of Hockey Night in Canada and former NHL forward, although only for this long, Terry Ryan coming up on Primetime.